Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we bless you this morning. We honor you. We honor you, Father. It's not about us, but it is about you, Father. Thank you, Holy Father, that in Jesus' mighty name you have honored us to partake in your divine nature. This morning, Lord, as we go through your word, Father, we receive that we flow in your divine nature. We will never settle for less, Father. So, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray that your anointing, Father, will rest upon our ears. Your anointing, Father, will open our hearts that we will hear you as you speak to us. Holy Father, we thank you that, Lord, as I stand in front here speaking forth your word, I receive, Father God, the inspiration that comes from you. And I thank you for the enablement, Father, to be able to deliver your word accurately, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to speak as the oracles of God. In Jesus' mighty name, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. You know, God is about promoting his word. He does not promote people. He promotes his work. And therefore, if you decide to do his work, then you get promoted. You'll recall in this message that we're going through, we said from the beginning, we said when God gives you a challenging task, know that God is not testing you, but he is looking for an opportunity to demonstrate his power. And we said, remember that it is not about you. It is about what God wants to do. So when God elevates his people, it is as a result of him being where he wants them to be, doing that which he wants them to do, which is promoting his word. And then because of that, then they get elevated together with the word of God. It's not about us. Today, we are continuing with our message. Our message is arise and shine. Part 12. It's a long journey and we're taking it slow. And I believe that God has got nuggets for us from each part that we go through. And this message is based on Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 5, which says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And the word continues to say, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his light shall be seen over your life. This is how the word of God came through to us in the beginning of this year, that it is time for us to arise and shine. And we said, but now how do we achieve that? And that is when the Lord said to us, go and study the life of Gideon. And that is what we are studying right now. And today, our subtitle is, God is able to do much with little. This is part two. We look at ourselves. We look at our limitations and we think God cannot do much with us. Who am I, Lord, that you can use me? Father, look where I come from. Look at my background. Can you use me? I don't think you can use me. And we go to God having doubts about ourselves. And because we have doubts about ourselves, we limit God to be able to flow freely. Because the fact of the matter is, God doesn't care about your past. He does not care about your abilities. What he does through his Holy Spirit. God used a donkey once. Are you not better than a donkey? Praise be to God. So don't bring yourself down. Don't think that God cannot use you. God can use you. God is already using you. You don't know how many people you're touching already by your life. Your life is a testimony to other people. Like we heard last week, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be witnesses to Him. People can see Christ in you. You are different. The thing is, people do not or will not always come and talk to you about how different you are. They will not always come and tell you what message you are preaching through your life. They won't do that. But it doesn't mean that you're not preaching the gospel through your life. Now, God is preaching this word to us now because He knows that there is much more that He wants to do through us. He wants us to be free of ourselves. He wants us to stop looking at ourselves. Start looking at Him. He is the one that is doing the work, not us. So forget about yourself. Forget about your limitations and look at God. So the message today is, God is able to do much with little. You think you are little? You are less? God is able to do much with little. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's continue. We are going to read from the book of Judges. We'll start reading from verse 9, actually. We're supposed to start on verse 10. Because the last time we went up to verse 9. But just for clarity, I'm going back to verse 9 from the previous message that we had. Let's read verse 9. That night the Lord said, "Get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them." God was speaking to this man, Gideon. It was after the Spirit of God had come upon him, and God told him to take only 300 men, reducing these guys from 32,000 to only 300 men. He said, "The reason why I'm reducing you from 32,000 to only 300 is because I don't want that when Israel wins over the Midianites, I don't want them to say we have done it in our strength." So God can do much with little. And when He does His work, He wants people to see that it was God who did it. So that must give us boldness then to ask God for things that are bigger than us. Much bigger than us. Trust Him for things that are greater than what we can do in our strength. Because He is not looking at just doing enough as per our strength. No. He says then to this man, after he selected his 300 men, God says to him, "Get up, go down into the Midianite camp." And He says, "For I have given you victory over them." He has not gone down to fight as yet. And God is saying, "I have given you victory." This is God. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. It says, "God calls those things that be not as though they were." God says He has already given you victory. You're waiting for victory. God says, I have already given you victory. Why are you still waiting? What are you waiting for? You have the victory. Get up. Go down. I have given you victory over them. And that's the word that God has given to us. Like my wife just shared as well, talking about the fact that God has already done it all. It's a done deal. He is not still going to do it. So he says to us, he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's a done deal. So what should we do? We should go in there and take. Yeah. Take your victory. Do not allow the devil to keep you from what God has for you. Refuse. Take what is yours. The Bible says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. That's the part that we have to understand, that when we receive what God has told us to do already, what he says he has provided for us already, we are submitting ourselves to him. We are saying, Father, we have this thing. But there is a part where we still have to resist the devil. When the devil is shouting at us and saying, it's not like that. And we say, it is like that. In Jesus' name, it is like that. God has said it, it is so. And we stand on the word of God. As you continue to stand on the word of God, you are resisting the devil. He will shout at you and say, it's not like that. No, in the natural it's not like that. But in the spiritual realm, it is a done deal. We want it to come to pass. So we resist the devil by saying what God says it is. That is how we take what belongs to us. We submit to God. We submit to his word, his voice to us. And we resist the enemy who tries to say it's not like. So refuse to be without what God has given to you. Verse 10. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Puram. Now this is God's grace and mercy. He says, go. This man, he's hesitant. And God says, but if you are afraid, then what you can do, go down to the camp of the Midianites with your servant Purah. Now what we see here is God allowing Gideon to operate in Thomas' kind of faith. The faith that says, once I see it, then I will believe it. This is what God is doing here. This is how merciful God is to us. Is this his best way of operating? No, it's not. He's got something better. And especially for us. You see, this man had already experienced God. He had already experienced God. God showed him through that confirmation of the fleece. He confirmed his word. He protected him when he was supposed to be killed. He had people now, armies following him. He had experienced God so much. And God speaks to him. He says, go. He still is afraid. You must understand that. And God came down to his level. He did not shoot him down and kill him because he's afraid. He said, okay, because you're afraid, I'll help you out. So go down. Let's see. Verse 11. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you'll be greatly encouraged. So you'll be encouraged by what he hears, what comes through his senses. That's the kind of faith that Thomas worked with. He said, unless I see him, unless I touch him with my hands, only then I will believe. And Jesus said what? He said, Thomas, blessed are those who believe, having not seen. But Jesus still did not kick Thomas out. You know, there are people that go out and they preach that if you have a little bit of unbelief in you, doubt just a little bit, God will kill you. He only works with those who have pure faith, not the God of the Bible. God uses faith that he has given to us. But you may find that our human faith is not where we should be. So in other words, we may have doubt and unbelief in our minds, but because God uses our supernatural faith, so he can still come through. This man wanted to follow God. This man wanted to believe God, and God saw his heart. So God did not demand that then his natural faith as well be perfect. God worked with his supernatural faith that wanted to follow God. So God said, I'm going to help your mind as well. He said, you will be encouraged. So that's the power of the mind now. Your mind will be encouraged. You will see that I'm going to fulfill this. And then it continues to say, then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Pura and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. Verse 12, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Can you see? Three nations against one. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. His problem looked so big, there was no way that he could overcome that problem. That is why he was afraid. The men, he did believe that God could set them free, but when he looked at how many these people, how big the enemy is, he shivered. And God did not throw him out. God held him by hand and he said, I will encourage you. I will make sure that I will have somebody that will say something in that enemy camp that will encourage your faith. But don't look for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't look for that. I am saying if you find yourself in this situation, know that it does not mean that then God is no longer going to bring to pass what he has promised you. If you find yourself in a place of doubt, having doubt in your mind, don't think that I'm no longer going to receive from God. God looks at your heart and God works through your faith. Your supernatural faith that comes through hearing his word. You heard his word, you believed his word, but your mind is shouting something else. So, but because you believe his word, he will still fulfill his word. Time will come when you'll become so used to the word of God and such that when now God speaks, you will say, God has done this for so many times for me now, I don't need a confirmation in the natural anymore. You just run with it. Because God is helping you to grow in confidence in him. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream. And in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. Praise the Lord. This is the man in the camp of the enemy. They receive this dream and they interpret it. And Gideon is there listening. This is how great our God is. This is how merciful God is. Maybe we would do the same thing. Think about this. If you listen to how big the enemy was and him having only 300 men, wouldn't you be scared? He probably had a reason to be scared. But the Bible tells us that we should not be scared because once God has spoken his word has got the ability to bring to pass everything that he said it would be. So he said to him, go down. I have given you the victory already. So he should have gone down. That should be our response as well. When the Lord speaks to us and says, this is yours. I've given it to you. Take it. Don't wait for natural confirmation. You know, we've got people wanting to get confirmation about God's healing, that God will heal them. What more confirmation do you need? Doesn't the word of God say healing is yours? Jesus Christ died to provide you healing. We want people wanting to confirm that they are really born again. What more do you need? The Bible is clear. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be born again. You don't need confirmation of things like that. Once the word declares it, receive it. Submit to God and start resisting the devil who's shouting at you saying it's not so. Start confessing the word of God, speaking that it is so. And as you are doing so, you are now resisting the enemy that is trying to say to you it is not so. The fact of the matter, it is so. How did you receive your salvation? Did you wait until you felt, I am saved? Then you started confessing that you are saved? No. You were told. You believed it. You confessed it, and as you confessed it, you came to a point where you were convinced of your salvation. Colossians chapter 2, it says, that is how then we should walk in faith. The same way that we received Jesus Christ, we should walk in Him like that. How? By believing what the Word says, taking the Word as it is, and just living as it is. And then the fulfillment will come to pass. Mark 11 verse 24, after you've prayed, believe that you have received, and then you shall. The shall is in the future. You shall have that which you've prayed for. Amen. But you must believe first that you have it already. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Now, when Gideon had the dream and its interpretation, can you see? He walked by sight here. He walked by what he had here. He bowed in worship. That's exactly what Thomas did. He said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, that's not the best faith. He said, blessed are those who believe, having not seen. So we want to be blessed. So I may not get any confirmation. There may not be a person that will come and confirm the word of God to me. But because God has spoken it to my heart, I believe it. Once I receive it, God says, I am blessed. Praise the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and he shouted. He says exactly what God said. Get up! This is what God said to him. He said, get up! So he says to the camp now, get up! For the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. It's exactly what the Lord said to him earlier. So he believed. He was encouraged now. Praise be to God. So again, here we see God allowing Gideon to get a confirmation from God. This confirmation is not better than the fleece method he used earlier. And we spoke about this. We said, this is not God's best way. Now we have the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who guides us, who speaks to us. Do not use this method. We said, if you use this method, you are opening yourself to the devil. The devil has influence over this method. There are so many people that have received confirmation through these methods and they lost everything that they had. Because the devil plays in this area here. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within you. And we spoke about two ways, and we said those are not the only ways. There are many, but mainly two. The peace of God. Follow the peace of God. We said number two, the Lord gives you the desire to do the right thing. So we said follow those two, then they will help you to confirm what the Lord has said to you. So the Lord will speak to you, and then you'll feel the peace of God, and you'll have a desire. God will not call you to do something that you don't want to do. If it happens that He's got something that He wants you to do, perhaps before you did not want to do it, what He will do is He will give you the desire first. He's not going to have you drag yourself there just because He said, this is what I have to do. He will give you the desire. That is how God works. So if He gives you a word to do something that you don't like, you know what? Wait for the desire. Because God may be speaking about the future. He's not saying do it now. He's giving you an indication that in future, that's where you are going. So take that then, shove it, put it in the shelf, pray about it, and say, God, thank you for your direction. Thank you for you guiding my steps. And just keep it in the shelf there and just pray about it. And at the right time, the desire comes. When the desire comes and the peace of God, those two go together. When the desire comes and the peace of God is there, and then you now love this, like something that you never loved before. All of a sudden, you fall in love with it. You know, God has given you the desire for that thing. And ask Him, is it time to move? And I can tell you, most of the time, that's the right time to move. So do not move until you have the peace of God confirming what the Lord has said to you. Until you have the desire to do that. God is not going to kill you. He speaks to us as well in advance at times, because He has us to start thinking. Because all of a sudden God says to me, Kenneth, I have called you to become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He speaks that to me, I'm still a little boy. He's not saying I must start with the work that He wants me to do in future. He knows that I have not met Unoma. And He knows that this work is not complete without Unoma. So in other words, what it means, He's speaking this to me so that when I have to make decisions, I am quite aware that my future is in the ministry. So I start making decisions. I start spending time in the Word of God. When other people are busy with other things, I am spending time in the Word of God. I'm not in the ministry yet, but I'm spending. You see now, He had to say that to have me start preparing myself for what is to come in the future. That is how God works with us. So when God speaks to you, don't think that it's time to do that right away. Find out when and wait for Him. Praise the Lord. Second point, remember that God is not in the business of testing you and promoting you. He simply wants to demonstrate His power through you as you act out your faith. God called Gideon to face so many people with only 300 people on His side. He was not testing him how strong he is in his faith. It was not about Gideon. It was about God, He said it. It was about God demonstrating His power. He said, if you go being so many, Israel will think they overcame the enemy in their own strength. So it's not about your strength. It's about Him getting a chance to prove Himself. So don't think that God is testing me. He's calling me to do this thing because He wants to test my faith. Forget it. You don't fit in. You don't feature there. He is not looking for an opportunity to find you having a little doubt, as some people believe, so that He would then find a way of going back on His promises. A lot of people will tell you that if you have a little doubt in your heart, it's because of your doubt that God has not healed you. That's what people teach. You must understand that God is not searching in your heart to see if you have some little doubt in your heart. And then He gets a chance to say, I'm not going to do what you want until you are where I want you to be. No. God will help you. Look at Gideon. This man had that little doubt in his heart. What did God do with him? He helped him to get to a point where he was fully convinced. So don't look at your little doubt, but just listen for him. Listen for him. Listen to hear him say something to you. Go to his word. Spend time in the word. And as you're doing that, you are allowing him to help you. Remember Romans chapter 8 verse 32. The word says God is not withholding anything from you. How can He withhold anything from us if He managed to give us His Son? So He is not withholding anything from you. It's not that He just wants to keep you humble. Therefore He wants to suffer a little bit. No. He's not withholding anything. He will help you. So take your eyes off the issues you have and start focusing on the promises of God. Let him help you to build your faith, build your confidence. He is actually looking for a glimpse of faith so that he can bless you. Just a glimpse of faith. He saves whoever that calls on the name of the Lord. Whoever. Not special people. No. He saves whoever that calls on his name. Amen. Don't think that I am not so and so. I am not where I should be. I don't have whatever. And think God is not going to give you what you want from you. Don't. He saves whoever. And he helps whoever that has faith in him. You have faith in him. You have believed his word. God is right now helping you. He is working with you right now to help you. When God sent Moses to deliver his people from Egypt, he said he had a groan. They were groaning. That is all that God had. If you go to Exodus chapter 2 verse 24, the Bible says God just had their groaning. They did not have a mass prayer. They didn't go and fast. They were under tremendous pressure and they were crying. And they cried up to a point where they just groaned. And they connected with God. You must understand that God is not into methods. He's after your heart. He hears what comes from your heart. And he interprets what comes from your heart. So if in your heart you are after God, know that God is going to fulfill his word. When he heard their groan, the Bible says he remembered the covenant he made with their forefathers. He did not hear their prayer. That is how much God wants to help us. He is the God of mercy and grace. He is ready to help us at any time. So remember, God's anger for sin was satisfied in Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. The Bible tells us that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. So for us to have peace with God, the punishment that was supposed to come to us was upon Jesus Christ. So don't think that God is angry at you. God is punishing you. No. No. Don't allow the devil to lie to you. You know, this morning I had this one person on Facebook not agreeing what I'm saying there. And my response to this person was, I took the verses, two verses from the Bible as they are, and I put them there as the response. And he came back and I could sense his anger at what I was saying. And he's saying, this is not right. You guys, you are saying blah, 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 blah. And you know what? It's not me who was saying that. I took the verses as they are and I put them there. So he says it's me. That's what other people deal with, unfortunately. That's their problem. When they start interpreting what we say coming from the word of God to be saying it's coming from us. So know that the anger of God over sin was satisfied in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter who says what. The Bible says so. Amen. Forget about who said what. It doesn't matter whether it's a bishop. Doesn't matter whether it's a prophet from somewhere. It doesn't matter whether it's an apostle from somewhere. Paul himself, he said, if anyone preaches another gospel than the one that we have preached to you now, let that man be accursed. And he repeated it. And he said, I say it again, let that man be accursed. And he said, even if an angel appears to you to preach a different gospel than this one, he said, that angel is of the devil, let that angel be accursed. So then we go, ah, no, my pastor, Pastor Kenneth Hadebe says this, so it is so. Who is he? Who is he? Just tell me, who is Kenneth Hadebe? Just think about that. Kenneth Hadebe is nobody. That's another thing that happened with me when I looked at Pastor Creflo Dollar. I looked at that man, I said, this is an ordinary man. He's just a man. We're sitting about four rows from the front. He's just an ordinary man. God is using him so mightily. It's not because of how special he is. God is elevating his weight. It's not about the man. So the moment the man starts to say stuff that is not in line with the word of God, have mercy on that man and say, well, the man, unfortunately, is being man now. He's not preaching what the Lord tells him to preach. So just take it like that. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. And remember, people make mistakes, Pastor Luan. You must understand that. Some of them, they don't go out of their way to lie to people. I know there are people who do that. There are people who will do that. They will go out of their way to lie to people, to manipulate people, to get stuff from people. There are people that are like that. But other people are genuinely not informed. Think about you and I. Some years back, we didn't have this information that we have now. We were so strong in what we believed. It was not because we intentionally did not want to listen to what the Lord was saying. We did not have the revelation. So understand that people can make mistakes. But once you've shown a person what the word of God says and they still say no, leave them. There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing that you can do. Praise be to God. I want to, in closing, I want to show you an example here of the goodness of God, an example of the kindness of God. I want us to look at the example of David and Mephibosheth. I want to show you how God deals with us, his kindness. I want to show you how much God wants to do stuff for us. Let's look at 2 Samuel, looking at chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. The word says, one day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? When God blesses us, he blesses us for Christ's sake. The covenant that God has with Christ. That is the reason why God blesses us. This is an example here. This is a mere man. And the Bible says there is no man that is better than God. If a man can be this good, God is many times better than this. Verse 2, he summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. This is how we feel at times. We feel like we're crippled. We feel like we don't live up to the standard that God wants us to attain to. We feel like we are not the people that God wants us to be. We so long to be the man of God. We so long to be the woman of God. But we come short. We are crippled on both feet. We do not deserve God's kindness. Who am I? I'm a dead dog. If you continue with this story, when they went and collected Mephibosheth, he said, I'm a dead dog. He called himself a dead dog. That is what we call ourselves before God. Because we are fooled to think that God responds to us because of our standards. No, God responds to us because of the covenant that he has with Jesus Christ. So God wants to show you kindness. Believe that he's genuine about that. The state and the behavior of Saul's family did not matter. What mattered was David's desire to show them kindness because of the covenant. You know what happened with Saul, who wanted to kill David. And you know the family, how they felt towards David, except for Jonathan. We know what happened. But this man, he ignores everything. He just wants to show them kindness. The same goes for us. God doesn't bless us because we are good. He has blessed us in the past tense. He has blessed us because of Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 to 14, as well as Romans chapter 8 verse 32. We have been blessed already because of Christ. Gideon experienced God's help because God wanted to save his people. Not because Gideon was a special person. When God uses you, you are not special. God is focusing on the people he wants to reach. So don't look at yourself and be full of yourself, thinking, look at me. Look at God doing this through me. Forget it. Praise the Lord. It is always about God's mission, not the person used as an instrument. Keep that in mind. So do not worship a person as well. Don't look up to a person. We are all human beings. We are all fallible. All of us. So we will make mistakes as human beings. So when you see a person making mistakes, don't think then that there is no longer God. Remember, God used them imperfect as they were. You don't live with them 24/7 to know what goes on in their minds. You may think, I live with them, I live under the same roof with them. You don't know what is happening in their minds. So don't bring yourself down because you see other people being used by God and think he's using them because of whatever state they've attained in their walk with the Lord. We are about to finish. Judges 7 from verse 16. He divided the 300 men, now this is Gideon, into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and clay jar with a torch in it. Haibu, these people are going to fight. There is no weapon. They are not carrying weapons. What they have is a ram's horn and a torch. That's all that they have. They are going to a fight. Can you see when your back is against the wall and there's nothing that you can do and you know that it's not by power nor strength, what do you tend to do? You say, Father, you start praising God with a ram's horn. You start giving praise to the Lord and you don't depend in your strength anymore. You know that your little weapon is not going to do it. This is what happened here. Verse 17. Then he said to the men, keep your eyes on me. This is important now. Keep your eyes on me. This is very important. Keep your eyes on me. This is strategy now. I'll say this again. God calls people, individuals. He does not call a group. He calls individuals. And for their mission to be successful, people have to learn to watch and see what the individual that God has called and set what he does, then that mission will succeed. The issue that we have in churches at times is committees run pastors that God had called and had given a vision. God gives a vision to a man, the church dictates what the man should do. That is not from God. It is not from God. Gideon here, look at this. He says, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Israel. Is that what they were supposed to shout? No. It says, shout what? For the Lord and for Gideon. We need to understand that. Verse 19, it was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands. And they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Not a sword for the Lord and for Israel. Now this was a scare tactic from the Lord. What God did here was to scare these people. Think about it. Now they're surrounding these armies. Only 300 men. And they have clay jars. And then what they do is, at the same time, they break the jars. At the same time, they shine the light. So, and they shout. And these guys, they thought, woo, probably Israel went out and they got more help. Now they are going to kill us. And let's look what happened. Let's continue here. Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. You see the confusion that comes when we follow God's strategy. There is a confusion in the enemy camp. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Bethshitta, near Zerera, and to the border of Abel Meholah, near Tabath. Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, who joined in chasing the army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallow crossing of the Jordan River at Bethpara. So all the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two Midianite commanders, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. And they continued to chase the Midianites. Afterward, the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan River. You see how the Lord brought victory for these people? With only 300 men. Only 300 men. Who did not have weapons in their hands. But they scared the enemy. Because the Lord was with them. So when you are persuaded that you have heard from God, act on your faith and move with confidence. Confidence is the expression of your faith in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. Once you know the plan, put your plan to action. What has God told you to do? Move forward. Submit to God and resist the devil. He is going to flee. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit to God. God tells us to submit to the government and its officials. Bazalwane, I know this is a big challenge for us currently. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the unjust is in authority, people cry. God does not say we must submit to the individuals. He says we must submit to the authority. The authority. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 2, it says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. That person, that authority comes from God. And the person that is in charge there, God put them there. Maybe God didn't have anything better, because maybe Christians didn't want to be in politics. They wanted to pray the whole day and do nothing. I'm not saying it's so, but I'm saying maybe. That is why we need to get into politics if God has called us to be in politics. Where is he going to get Christian politicians if all the Christians want to run away from politics? And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Can you see? The authority itself, it's from God. And those that are there, I know, think about that man in your mind right now. The Bible says that man has been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And they will suffer the consequences. That's the one thing. Submit to God, submit to government authorities. We are talking about Gideon, the sword of God and of Gideon. Understand the authority there. He also tells us to submit to spiritual authority. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, he says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. What does submit mean? You do another person's will, what they want, even though you may not want to. Ah! People don't like this, that word. We live in a world which doesn't like that word. Submit! Why should I submit? You're also a person just like me. Why should I submit to you? Huh? Who are you? Are you better than me? But the Bible says submit. It says, for they watch out for your souls. This is important. The spiritual authority watches out for your souls, not for your spirits, for your souls. Eh? Your will, your emotion, and your mind. So in other words, those are people that are supposed to preach the word to you that will help you to keep your will, your emotion, and your mind in place. Not your spirit. They don't watch over your spirit. Your spirit is intact, perfect before God. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. They don't watch over your spirit. But your soul here in the world, the ministers need to preach the word of God to you. Teach you the word of God. They must watch out. They must protect you. They must tell you what the word of God says, so that when you come across the thing that is not right, you'll be able to divide. It says, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. The fact is, every minister will give account before God for everything that they've preached in their assemblies. So in other words, submit to them. But then it says, let them do so with joy, not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you if they do it with grief. All of a sudden, if they have grief, all of a sudden, they will have to come up with schemes now to try and get people in order, do what God wants them to do. There are people as well. They come up with gimmicks. And then gimmicks will not profit you. It is important also to note that God doesn't give a vision to a committee or a church, But to an individual, remember the sword of God and Gideon. Once he has given the vision to the set men, he provides resources which include partners. What we spoke about here, we said we don't have members in this house. Everybody that is here is what? A partner. You have something that God wants you to do in this house. What is it that God has put in your heart? Are you doing that which God wants you to do? Are you bringing your gift in? Are you using your gift? So remember that your gift, it is to what? It's to support the set person. Your gift will never be against the set person if you are where you're supposed to be. The moment your gift is against the set person, you're fighting the vision of God. You're not fighting that person. You see, it's easy for me to speak like this because I know you guys, so your hearts are right. So nobody will think I'm speaking about them. That's the beauty of having people that listen to the word of God, take the word of God, and want to honor the word of God. If I was in some place, now some people would be thinking that I'm speaking about them. So don't fight the vision of God. And if you get a vision that is contrary to what the set man has as a vision, submit to the set man. What does that mean? Leave your vision. Just stand with the vision of the set man. That is submission then. So you may have a vision, but if it's not in line, just submit. Conclusion. God is not limited by what we have. He can take little and do much with it. He took 300 men to overcome three nations. Understand that. So don't look at your capabilities. Don't. I get tempted as well to look at my capabilities and think, can God use me? One example is I've looked at how God has taken this small body here and has given us influence in the city in terms of the messages that we're sending out to the city. We have added another voice to the voices that God has given to the city. We are preaching the gospel through the Facebook page that we have and through the website that we have. We're influencing people. We could look at ourselves and think, but look at us, how small we are. Who are we? Who reads those messages? So you too as well, you have a Facebook page. You know how many people can visit that page. If you put the word of God there, we live in a different world, Masalan. We may not be able to go and knock at the door of our neighbors and preach the gospel to them, but we can go through the walls and preach the gospel to them if we use the media that we have. God can use a little. Don't look down upon yourself. He is not in the business of testing you. So when he tells you to move, he wants to demonstrate his power. Just take yourself out of the picture. Forget about yourself. You don't matter. So just go and do what he tells you to do. And as you do that, he will get an opportunity to demonstrate his power. So God deals kindly with us because of the covenant he has with us through Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. And that's the way that I had for us today. And thank you.